Do y'all know God ain't the God of the dead? He's the God of the what? The of the living. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glad to have the Murrays with us today. Good to see y'all. Good to see all the way from Charleston, South Carolina and Thomasville, Alabama, huh?
Soon to be Auburn, Alabama.
You moving to Auburn? Isn't that something? They telling you, right? You just going to go, right? Oh, man.
I
mean,
in 3 weeks, we're still not done.
Isn't that something? Got a pile. Well, it's always good to have Lydia and Leland and Ike with us. We've had the other grandbabies now for 2 weeks with us. It looks like they'll probably be at least another week, I'd imagine. But Blake and Lauren's got some renters that have contracted with them there in Texas, and they'll be making their way across here soon. He graduates, as far as a physical graduation, in this first phase he's in on the 19th, and then they'll make their way across. So I know they're looking forward to seeing the little ones, and they about wore me out, Charles. I'm telling you, they'll wear you down. But they're at the same time, we glad that they could be with us when they can, for sure. We don't always get to see them even with Lydia's crew, they're still an hour from us, so we still don't get to see them as much as we would like to. But when we were sitting on there, we were singing, and Holden said, he looked up at me, he said, "His face?" I said, "Yeah, his face. We're going to get to see his face one day." And so I was telling him that was talking about God's face. We're going to get to see him face to face one day. But he picked up on it. He heard that. "His face," he said. I said, "Yes, his face." Well, praise Jesus. Well, look, take the revelation you brought with you and go to the Old Testament book of Psalms. We're going to start off this morning in Psalm 65. We're up to Psalm 70 in our reading, but I just wanted to pull a couple things together this morning for us that I think would help us. We want to be praying for our military men and women around the world and lifting them up, our leaders. We want to pray for good counsel and advisors and decisions to be made. Obviously, most of you got notifications and saw on your phones or the news last night and this morning with that conflict over with Israel and Iran. Of course, we're going to be included in all these things, so we definitely want to be praying for those. Yes, ma'am.
Can you keep Jack Murray rooting on the prayer list? He's an active duty in El Paso,
Texas. Yes, so we want to keep all those. We sure will. We'll add that to the list, Karen, to get that name mentioned down for sure. And I imagine all of us have people intimately connect us with us that are tied together with the military right now, and things could get tense. Brother Charles spent some time, didn't you? Did you spend a little time in the service, Charles? Air Force, right? Charles specializes in Air Force maintenance or sheet metal work, right? And structural work on aircraft and those things. And we've got several folks in here that's been connected. And last week, Davin noticed when they were coming back from Texas, a pile of military equipment coming across on trains. They were moving it last week. I think they've been anticipating something like this to rouse up for just a little bit. Of course, the United States was involved in some of that last night and shooting some of those missiles down and some of those drones. So, you know, who knows the next step with it? But we do need to be praying for our leaders, our military men and women, Israel as a whole. Now, I've talked with y'all before. Now, Israel's part of God's divine purpose and plan down the road, but Israel as a whole right now are in the dark. They're enemies to the gospel. You got to remember that. Those that are over there right now that have nothing to do with Jesus, they are enemies of the cross. If they were to die, they would die without Jesus. They'll die without it. We're praying that God would get the word, get the message in, get the gospel in, that he would open eyes. We've talked about this on many occasions through the past, and how the book of Romans teaches us that they are under a partial blindness until a future day When that day will be, we really don't know. That can happen at any time. We're in a phase that the Bible would describe right now as the times of the Gentiles. They've been going on for a long time, from the times of Nebuchadnezzar on, when foreign leaders have had authority and rule over the nation of Israel, over Judah, over Jerusalem, and that's been for a long time now. So what's going to happen in the future with them is that there's many things that are going to unfold over some time, but when they do, things will happen really fast and really quick when they actually begin to unfold. We don't know if we're living in those times right now. It sure feels like it. It sure seems like that we could be in those times. But you got to keep in mind, the Bible's referred to the last days since the days of Jesus. Amen. So we've been in the last days since the days of Jesus. That's been a 2,000-year period. But the nation of Israel as a whole, the Jews as a whole right now, for these past 2,000 years have been in darkness. They've been in blindness. They rejected Jesus. They rejected the Savior, the Messiah. And there is no other way of salvation with God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You have to come through Jesus. And when I say it's not just accredited to you based on somebody else or based on someone else praying for you or someone else believing for you, no, every soul must be born again to be part of the kingdom of God, and that applies to the Gentile world and the Jewish world. That's how the Bible distinguishes people groups. You have Jews and non-Jews. The non-Jews are Gentiles. Most of us in here would be considered a Gentile. Some of you may have some Jewish heritage in you. You may not even be aware of. Karen, you might have some Jew in you, and you don't even know it. I might have some in me, and I may not know it. But you know what? That doesn't bother me. It would concern me none whatsoever. I know who I belong to, and I belong to Jesus. Whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you got to know Jesus, right? Amen. And when I say know him, you have to trust him and trust yourself to him. He has to be your everything and in every kind of way in this world we live in, because we're all going to have to face him one day, right? And we don't want to face him in our own abilities. We don't want to face him in our own sins. We want to face him in his righteousness. And the only way that can happen is that he has to be our life. And when we trust him with our life, the scripture says God makes a great swap. That is, we get his righteousness because he took our sin on our behalf upon the cross. And we use some phrasing around here that helps me, and I pray it'll help you as well. Remember, Jesus lived the life that he lived that qualified him to die the death that he died. And the death that he died qualifies us to receive the life that he lived when we trust him. And that's the life that he shares with us. We become partakers of his life. He shares his life with us. Now, Romans takes it a step further and says, look, if he shared his life with you, that is, you then become an heir to God. That is, because you're now a son of glory, you're a son of God. But you're also a joint heir, a brother to Jesus. Jesus is your brother. Now, because he shared that life with you, now that life lives in you. And if that life is in you because you are a partaker of his life, you will suffer with him. And if you don't suffer with him, that is, because you partaker of his life, you can't claim to be a joint heir with him. Because now the life that he lived, he's living where? In us now. We were talking a little bit about it in Sunday school. The life that Jesus lived when he was living, God clothed him in flesh in Mary's womb. And he had a physical body that he lived on this earth in and walked in and grew in and suffered in, a physical body. Well, when he was resurrected, he promised he would come to us. His disciples, he and his Father would come by way of the Holy Spirit and live out his life in us. So now we, as the people of God, the family of God, the church, the body of Christ, is the physical body that now Jesus lives his life out of on this earth. That's why we are part of his body. We are part of a whole of his body, and we're in a growing stage to become the full stature of him But at the same time, it goes back to what we started out with. Those over there right now, the Jews, wherever they are around the world, that don't trust Jesus will die without Jesus. So we want to pray for them. And we want to pray that we'd be the missionaries that we need to be to help them. And God would send those missionaries to them. But one of these days, things are going to shift. And when they shift, that is when the last, when you say at a certain time, when the full number of the Gentiles come in, as the scripture describes it, then God's going to turn to his people, and his people, the Jew, from that perspective, when you use his people, you're talking about a long time covenant deal. They're not his people today without Jesus, but as a nation, God has not cut them off. They will always be until the end. And when that happens, God's going to turn to them and they'll trust him. They'll see him. God's going to supernaturally, just like he did with you, when you saw Jesus for who he was, that was a supernatural work of God did with you, that you was able to see him. Well, they're going to see him too. And the scripture says that generation in that day, whenever that is, could it be in our times? Very well could be. Could it still be down the road? We have no idea. But the point is that when that time does come, they will see him for who he is and they will trust him and give their life to him. And now they would become martyrs on the earth in the great battle against the other contenders that rise up to fight against the things of God until God finishes everybody upon the earth and time is no more, and only those that have a relationship with him will last and endure for eternity. So do we need to be praying for each other? Oh, no doubt. Do we need to be praying for men and women around the world? Yes. We need to be praying for our military men and women? No doubt. We also need to be praying for those who are in authority, who make a lot of decisions on behalf of not just our country, but also those military men and women who will be defending us and other places around the world. Amen? Now, in Psalm 65, look at this. This is where we want to position ourselves. Psalm 65 says, "Praise is waiting you, O God, in Zion." Now, of course, we're not in Zion. We have a heavenly Zion that we're part of. But David, in this particular psalm, this is a psalm of David, he says, "Praise is awaiting you." That word "waiting" in some translations, some use the word "awaiting you." Is there another translation in here that uses the different? Karen, you use the ESV, if I'm not mistaken. What does that first verse say? Praise is what? Due to you? Okay. Anybody else have? Kylie, what do you have?
Belong.
Praise belongs to you. Well, that word "wait" there, or "waiting," or "do," or "belong," in the original Hebrew, the Hebrew tongue, the word is used several times, and it's the idea of something that is still. Something that is still. It's not moved out of its place. Something that is not stirred up. It's often translated, when it's translated, it's not used a bunch, Tyson, but when it's used, it's the idea of something that is silent in the sense that it's being still. It's kind of like turkey hunting. We talked about turkey hunting last week. One of the things about turkey hunting, Brandon, didn't you kill a bird recently? Was you in full camo when you killed that bird? Why are you normally in full camo when you're hunting? To conceal yourself, because those birds have very good eyesight, right? And you try to do your best to be as still as possible, especially when you know that bird's nearby. Normally they can give you an indicator, right, Greg, that they're close by. You could hear them gobbling, you could hear them calling, you could hear them talking. What is one of those things those birds do when they get close enough and they strutting out there and they trying to show off? What is one of the things they do? They drum. They spit and drum. Anybody ever heard a turkey spit and drum? It's pretty neat, isn't it, Tyson, when you hear them? If you've never heard it, you don't know what we're talking about. Who wants to demonstrate it for us? Anybody want to demonstrate it? Brother Shannon? No? What will they do, guys? Brittany. Brittany said they go like that. Is that what they do? Lucas, is that what they do? They swell up. They puff up with air and they go. And with a close enough, you could hear them. And it's just one of those things in a courtship. They talking. Last week, or when was that? Wednesday night, we talked about communication. how important communication is in society. Citizens got to communicate with one another. Computers have to communicate with one another. If you got a computer don't read a certain language, it can't communicate with one another. Creatures communicate with one another. If you're turkey hunting, Miss Ann, you got to communicate with one another, right? Don't that have to be? Miss Mary Frances, when you and I communicate with one another, once in a while she'll send me something by email. And my computer and her computer can talk to one another. My phone and her phone, because it knows the language. Well, those birds know that language. And they communicate with one another. Well, David is saying that when he guarantees that praise ain't going nowhere in Zion. When God decides to show up, guess what he's going to find? He's going to find praise. He's going to praise the Lord. Praise is not silent, because praise is not silent, but it's still. It's unmoved. Nothing's going to push that praise out of there. Nothing's going to push it down the road. So when God decides to look upon the city or look upon the servants or look upon the land, he is going to find, if nobody else is praising God, the king said he's going to praise him.
Amen.
King David. A man after what? God's own heart. Now when David messed up, because David messed up, didn't he? Did David miss the mark? Did David sin? He sure did. David transgressed, he sinned before the Lord. But you know, when David sinned, he always recognized something was wrong with him, and he was out of line with God, because he said it penetrated deep within him, even to his bones ached, and that he sensed he was silent, and that his mouths, he didn't have the capability to explain God to people, and he was ashamed of where he was, and he was crying out to God to restore him, to put him back in a place where he could open his mouth and praise the Lord, where he could open his mouth and teach people the ways of God. Why? Because he wanted God to always hear praise coming from his life, no matter what, and it will always be waiting upon him whenever God chose to inhabit it, whenever he chose to show up. Now, why? Now he's going to bring out some things. Notice what he says. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion, and to you the vow shall be performed. Everything we've committed and we said we will do, we're going to perform them to you. Verse 2, O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Iniquities prevail against me, and as far as transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Now that's the thing about iniquity. Iniquity is that inward rebellion that wants to trip us up and cripple us. That's why we do transgress. But the thing about it, God's already made atonement for that transgression, hadn't he? He's done what was necessary. You can't, Beverly, I can't ransom you. You can't ransom me. Tyson can't do it for you. Kylie can't do it for you. Sandy, none of us can do it for you. But I want to tell you, God is faithful, ain't he? And he's provided what is necessary to pacify, to propitiate, to satisfy his wrath in his mercy toward us by sacrifice that hadn't even happened yet. But because God never wavers in his faithfulness, Jesus would come one day, and Jesus would live one day the life we couldn't live, and he would die a death that we couldn't die. And therefore, God would place our judgment, David's judgment, upon Jesus. And therefore, he was able to place that righteousness upon us when we just simply take him by faith. Amen. Now that is worth everything in life. To have that light and that revelation. And what David is teaching us here is that last year when we walked through the Psalms, we emphasized every time we were going through these and walked through them. This is our 14th or 15th time reading through Psalms over the last 15 years, as far as five Psalms a day, the way we do it. But our emphasis in our last time through it was properly placing our trust. Properly placing our trust. How important is it to properly place your trust in the Lord? Is that essential?
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, it's fundamental to everything. Just like in your house, how many of y'all have got some really valuable things in your house that are valuable to you? They may not be valuable to me, but they're valuable to you. You got some of those? Do you have them in certain places? Do you have them in a place where your dog could get them?
No.
No. Do you have them in a place where the grandkids could get a hold of them?
No.
Now, them little rascals can get into some stuff.
Yeah, come on.
Do you have them, Greg, in the place where Carolyn can get a hold of them?
It don't make a place.
Greg said it don't make a place.
Okay.
All right, Brother Shannon, we got to move on. Amen.
Moving on.
Every one of us properly place things that are important to us, that are valuable to us. And we said throughout the psalm, David would say that. For an example, just go look in Psalm 16. Let me, these things unveil to us, and it's just a great picture of how essential this is. It's fundamental to everything we are. Psalm 16, look in 16. Psalm 16, Carolyn. This is one that if you was to go back to a psalm on a regular basis, this would be one you want to continually go back to. It's so helpful and beneficial and rich to say, God, I want to have a heart that is a heart after you. I want to celebrate before you of what you've chosen for me in life, the ones you put in my life, the places you have assigned me in life. My lot in life has been determined by you, and I'm going to trust you with it. So he says this, preserve me, O God, for in you I do what? I put my trust. You can write beside that, rightly placed or properly placed trust. I put my trust. I properly place my trust in you. Now that is so, because you putting trust in things, we all do. But we put trust in some things that are not worth trusting. You can't claim that to be properly placed trust. So we're talking about trust that is rightly placed. It's in the right one. That has to be priority number one. It's in the right one. In the right one. I'll give you a little example. It's easy to find yourself trusting that you have a decent sized banking account. You got money in the bank. You can put some confidence in that. That can set you up for a problem with the Lord. You can put your confidence in insurance and not properly place your trust in the right one. Joshua took the children of Israel into the promised land. And the promised land was given to them by God for a reason. This land that they're going to continue to fight over, of what we're dealing with right now between the Palestinians and the Israelites, and then the Iranians or the Iraqis or the Lebanese or whoever it is, there's always going to be issues over there. There's been issues. There's always going to be issues. It's just the nature of the beast of what you're dealing with over there. Well, God, when he separated the sons of men, he tells us this in Deuteronomy 32. At the Tower of Babel, when he separated the world at that time, confused their languages with the intent that men would seek him. And God is not hard to find, right? You just miss him because you can't see him, but he's near. But if you don't know who you're looking for or why you're looking for him, you'll miss him, Charles. Well, God did this. Well, the scripture says that when he separated all those nations and he put this group here and he sent this group there and he sent that group here, remember, there's only one race. And what race is that?
Human.
The human race. Now, there's a lot of ethnic groups, but there's only one human race, and we all come through one particular person. And what is his name? Well, we'll trace it back to Adam, but there was somebody in between Adam and the rest of us, and it's who?
Noah.
Why? Because what did God do with the rest of the population in Noah's day?
Died.
They all died. And God refurnished, repopulated the earth through one man. That was Noah and his children. So every one of us traced back to Noah. We all come through Noah's bloodline. Well, the problem is Noah's bloodline was corrupt. It was fallen. Well, the Tower of Babel is going to come out of that. And when God divided all those nations and spread them out, Deuteronomy 32 says he chose a small particular land for the 12 tribes of Israel. That's in Deuteronomy 32. You can read about it. When I divided the nations, I allotted that little group of land, those people, those 12 tribes, I set them apart for myself. They are God's tithe. You know, a tithe is like a percentage, a 10% of something. Just like when Joshua and them went into the land of Canaan, when they went in that land that God had already given to them and set apart for them, the first place they went was a city called Jericho. What did they do at Jericho? Remember the walls, what? The walls fell, and they gathered everything in there. But what did God say everything in that city, who did it belong to? It belonged to the Lord. Not one thing in it belonged to them. It belonged to the Lord. Now every other place, the spoil of those cities that they conquered, they could keep.
Yeah.
But the first city, as a tithe, the first fruits belong to who?
God.
Well, see, Israel was set apart for God for that. Well, when they were conquering this land, Jay, the Bible says that God took the nations, the kings, and he put it in these kings' hearts to come fight against Joshua. Now, Joshua didn't have a fighting group of men. They just didn't fight. What were they when they was in Egypt? They were bricklayers. They made mortar, they made brick, and they built with brick for Pharaoh. That's what they did. They were not known fighters. They didn't train to fight. But God was going to prepare them and teach them how to fight. So God supernaturally hardened the heart of kings of the promised land and sent them toward Joshua, and Joshua and his men overthrew them and killed them, and they had the victory. Now this is what God told them, though. God says, when you slew them, you cannot keep their horses nor their chariots.
Amen.
Take their chariots and put them in the fire. Burn every one of them. And take their horses and hamstring every one of their horses so they're no longer useful. Hamstring the horses, burn the chariots. And he said the reason he did that, he said if they had those chariots and if they had those horses, they would put their trust in the horses and the chariots, and it would distract them from trusting him. Amen. They would be trusting something, but it wouldn't be properly placed trust. And they wouldn't be putting it in the Lord. They would put it in a thing, and that thing would hamstring them. It would hamstring them before the Lord. Because it doesn't matter if you have chariots. It doesn't matter if you have horses. It doesn't matter if you have tanks and jets and firepower. If God be for you, who in the world can be what?
Against
you. And when God is against you, who in the world can be for you? So properly placed trust is number one. Now, this is a battle, isn't it? How many of y'all have to fight with that? How easy it is to put your confidence in a well-run automobile. Y'all, most of us today, most of us out here, has nice vehicles that are pretty reliable, can get us from point A to point B. And all God's people said? And how easy is it to not even think about saying, Lord, I need you to take care of this vehicle for me, and I need you to get me safely from A to B, and I know this vehicle runs right, and it'll get me there, but more than that, I want to put my confidence and trust in you. Amen?
Amen.
What I'm saying is we can do that and not even think twice about doing it. So we got to properly always remember to place our trust. That's one reason David was saying, when you show up, God, you're going to find praise here. Why? He was properly placing his trust in the right one. The second thing we see is properly placing our love in the right one.
Amen.
Our love in the right one. Our love in the right one. He's going to say on here, notice verse number 2. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And all God's people said,
amen.
Ain't nothing in us good apart from the Lord. As far as the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Putting our love in the right one and the right ones, wanting to be with the right ones, be around the right ones. There's a lot that falls out of that. Their sorrow shall be multiplied who have hastened after another God. He said, I didn't want any connection to that. He says, their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. Why? Because I love the Lord and I don't want my connection to be with them, right?
Amen.
Verse 5. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup, for you maintain my lot in life. Aren't you glad God has you right where he has you?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he's got you with who he has you with and right where he places you? How many of y'all tried to mess it all up?
Amen.
Come on now. Y'all be honest with me. How many of you done some things to mess it all up?
Amen.
Has God been merciful with you?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, he is so merciful with us. How many of you ever wanted something that God didn't set you apart for, but you wanted it and you tried to pursue it and it all it did get you in trouble? Anybody ever do that? We all have. David did it as well, but see, he's at a place where he realizes that, God, you chose my lot. You chose the cup of my portion. You chose what I'm to drink from, where I'm to live from, and I'm going to celebrate you. And praise is going to be waiting on you when you show up. I'm going to be giving you glory. Verse number 7. I will bless the Lord who has given me what?
Counsel.
Man, if you've never had counsel from God, you're missing out, aren't you? My heart also instructs me in the what? Night seasons. Y'all notice that? That's plural, isn't it? Night seasons. Have you ever been in a night season, Brother Shannon?
Amen.
When it was dark?
Yeah.
A night season, the midnight hour of the soul, where, man, it was dark, it was low. And you wasn't hearing directly from the Lord.
That's right.
That's all intentional. It's all God works this out. You see, but when you were in the daytime walking with him, and God was counseling your heart and showing you his ways, and when you slip into a season where you're not hearing as freshly from him as you once were, what do? You grab a hold of the counsel that he gave you when you was walking in the daytime with him. And you let that become a prayer before the Lord. Psalm 42 talks about it. In the daytime, you commanded your loving kindness toward me. And in the night, it became a prayer unto you.
Yeah.
In those night seasons that you walk through, what God does in that is draw you close to him. You're never out of his view. You never escape his grip. You never escape his power. He's got you in sight. Matter of fact, you're the apple of his eye, but got to hold off.
Yeah.
For you to keep pursuing and drawing closer and closer and seeking him. It's to our advantage. Amen.
Amen.
He knows exactly what we need. It's like working with a little one. When they're real little, you try to do all you can for them and teach them. But as they get a little bit older, you give them a little room to start doing things on their own. And it's okay if they make some mistakes. Why? Now you're going to teach them in the mistakes that they make, because you want to get them to a place where they come in and saying that, hey, can you show me how to, you taught me how to do this. Can you show me this? And why did this happen to me? Why did they treat me this way? And they come into you, and now you're teaching them in the same thing. You can't always be with them, just like you can't always be with one another. But see, God never leaves us nor forsakes us, does he?
Amen.
And he's always got a watchful eye on us, but he allows us to go through some difficulties and hardships. Why? Because he's refining us. He's getting some ugly things off of our life so that we keep seeking him. And David recognized that in those night seasons, what God had taught him in the daylight, in the daytime, that mercy that he showed him was to help him when he went through seasons in life where he wasn't hearing fresh from the Lord, because that is going to happen. He says in verse 8, I have set the Lord always what?
Before me.
Say this, rightly placed worship. rightly placed worship or a rightly placed throne in your life. You need a king and you need his throne to always be set before you. Rightly placed worship. These three things, rightly placed trust, rightly placed love, and rightly placed worship, will put you in position that we're going to see in a moment the advantage of what happens when we're living life that way. You will always be in the position to be able to say, God, wherever you find me, you're going to find me praising you. I'm going to be giving you glory. Why? Because look what he does. When you set that, that's what that means when he says, I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. That is properly placing God on the throne of your life right where he needs to be. He's king over it. Amen. Here's the king bowing his knee to the king. Therefore, verse number 9, my heart is what?
Glad.
And my glory, my uniqueness, my excellence, my holiness, my splendor rejoices, for my flesh will also rest in hope. Now watch verse number 10 and 11. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Remember who this is? Who's he talking about? That's right. This is prophetic, isn't it? Remember what we said last week? When you're walking through here, always be looking for Jesus, because that's a direct reference to Jesus himself. But notice what verse 11 says. What will God show you when you have properly placed your trust, you properly placed your love, and you properly placed your worship in the right one, in the right place? What is the promises that God will give you? In verse number 11, you will show me what? In your presence is the fullness of? And at your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. This is the benefit of rightly placed trust, rightly placed love, and rightly placed worship. Number one, the right person. The right person. The right person will be actively involved in your life. That right person is the Lord, is the one we're talking about. Number two, because you're seeking and you have the right person in your life, what is he going to lead you down? The right path. The path of life. He's going to lead you down the right path. The right path. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
The right path. What does our verse say? What do we see? Look at verse 11 again. In your presence is the fullness of joy. You can say, he's going to lead me to the right place. The right person, down the right path, to the right place, and he's going to take me to what? The right pleasures in life. The right pleasures. How many of you want to do it right?
Amen.
How many of you know, like me, you're not always going to do it or get it right?
Come on.
How many of you have a case history that you haven't always done it the right way?
Yes.
How many can testify? I have not always done it the right way. How many would testify? I'm not always prone to keep doing it the right way.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, Psalm 16 and all through the scriptures are helping us recognize that, look, when we properly place our trust in the right place, in the right one, we properly place our love in the right one, in the right ones, and properly place our worship in everyday life of where he has us, it's always going to lead us to the right person on the right path to the right place to see the right pleasures in life. That is, you're going to see life God's way. And man, I don't know about you, but I need that more than most anything else in life. Amen. Anything else? Let me give it, before we close, look over in Psalm 91. Go to Psalm 91. If I was asked y'all to just give me a summation of Psalm 91, most of you would be able to tell me. It's all about what? Being in the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Being in the nest with the Lord, right? Being in the nest with him. But I want you to notice about this rightly placed love, how important it is. Look in verse number 14. Psalm 91:14. This is what God says. Because he, who is the he? Anybody that has trusted the Lord, that is, they right. Look who it is. You gonna bring your daddy some of them fish? Yeah. Verse 14, because he has set what? Y'all read that with me now. Don't miss this. Because he has set what? His love upon who?
Me.
Who's the me? God. Rightly placed love. Because he set his love upon me. Notice what God will do. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will what? Answer him. I will be with him in what? I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and I will show him my what? Does it get any sweeter? Look, properly placed trust is going to lead to a properly placed love. And you can't help but properly place your worship in the right one when you're trusting and loving him. Amen?
Amen.
And then God says, I'm going to bring you to the right person on the right path in the right place for the right pleasures in life. And you know what's going to come out of that? Kylie, you can't help but praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Are you going to face troubles in life?
Yeah.
Do you want to face them by yourself?
No.
Well, if you don't want to face them by yourself, you need to properly place your love in the right one. And when you do, God makes a guarantee he'll go into trouble with you.
Amen.
He didn't say he'd keep you from trouble. We've got to recognize that. But he'll what? Go into trouble with you. And you see, that's where you find the right pleasures and the right place where God's at. Amen. Where God's at. And that means, Danny, sometimes he's going to lead me into some stuff that I would have never led myself in.
Amen.
He's going to take me into some things I would have never walked in. He's going to bring me down some paths that I would have never chosen in my life. And they're not always going to be pleasant. But it's the right place with the right person on the right path for the right pleasures. Simply because we properly placed our trust in the right one. Our love and our worship. The overflow of that is saying, God, if you showed up at Briggs Chapel, you're going to find praise here.
Amen.
If you show up in that parsonage over there, you're going to find praise there. You're going to find it there. As Psalm 118 and verse 15 would say, that in the tent or the dwelling of the righteous, there is rejoicing and salvation.
Amen.
In the dwelling of the righteous, where the righteous dwell, where they live, there's going to be the sound, the voice of rejoicing and salvation. Why? The righteous have set their love in the right place. And their trust and their worship. They can't help but praise him. Amen.
Amen.
Sounds are going to flow. They're going to flow. Father, we bless you today. We thank you for this time we've had. As we started out this service, how important it is for everyone to be born again. We pray that in this place, even right now, those that will hear this word down the road or what will be carried out on the streets tomorrow, that we would plead with men and women, boys and girls, to trust Jesus with their life, to give themselves over to him. For you did what we could not do, that we could live a way that we could not live apart from you. So we're grateful for your life, your blood, your grace. And we ask in you, Lord, to continue to use us to see that men and women abroad will be saved according to your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people say, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Now you got to remember the world we live in and our old flesh, you know what? It still sees the stain. It still sees the stain. They can't get past the stain, what we've done. They still see an old wretch has done what he's done, and they can't get past the stain. But I want to tell you what, he washes it white as snow. Amen? Amen. He casts those sins as far as the east is from the west, throws them in the sea of forgetfulness, and puts us in a position that we stand not guilty before him. Amen?
Amen.
Man, what a blessing. Look, we're going to continue this evening, Lord willing, in that Psalm 65. But I encourage you to read, if you jump ahead a little bit, Psalm 104. They run real close to one another of all the neat blessings of why David was saying, why are you going to find praise here in Zion? Because of God's overwhelming favor and blessings upon them and meeting every need they had. And you'll see that same thing in Psalm 104. It encouraged. I really believe it will. We may look at it this evening, okay? Father, we bless you. We thank you. We ask you to look over us today. Use us. We're just going to trust you. And thank you for your kindness toward us. Thank you for your everlasting mercy. Thank you for your tender mercies. And we just know today that we can be content in you, for you have chosen our lot in life. And we just want to find everything that we need in you, for you have given it to us in Christ. And we can't help but praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love y'all.